here. And the Bible says this in verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, verse 24, behold, there was twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And the name of his, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the Bible says in verse 27, and the boys grew. By the way, that's a great blessing, isn't it, to have health and life? The boys grew. They were blessed. It's a blessing to be able to have life. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now, that's a little different worded. We would almost say it that this tonight, church, that Esau was a what we call a man's man, and Jacob was really more delicate than Esau. And the Bible tells us this. It says, verse 28, a very interesting statement's made in verse 28 that's been debated amongst scholars. It says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. That's an interesting thing right there. There was some favoritism going on. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. And therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. I may go back and cover the birthright as we go on. But the Bible says in verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. Anybody ever, you ever heard somebody, they're dying of hunger? Wonder where that came from. He said, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He despised it. Now, if you'll take your Bible and turn over to, and this is where our title of our message is going to be, is in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12. And we got to get these verses. I want you to study these verses. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You say, well, I don't understand all of the Bible. If you will come at the Bible, just line upon, you'll be shocked how much Bible you know in time. And we're doing that tonight. I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start down here. Let's start verse 14. It's all good. You can't really mess up on it, amen? Everybody good? Everybody awake? All right, verse 14, of chapter 12 says this, follow peace with all men. Well, that's a statement, isn't it? You notice how the Bible, there's just so many sermons in it, isn't it? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, verse 15 says, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby defile, many be defiled, verse 15 says. Lest then, now watch this, verse 16 and 17. Watch this, church. It says, lest there be any fornicator, and look what it says, or profane person, as Esau. Well, wait a minute. I thought Esau was just in the Old Testament. No, it says, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And it goes on, for ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, or unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. And of course, this is talking about Moses, and we'll stop right there. But you'll notice in verse 16 and 17, it says, and I want you to notice, it is talking about Esau, but I want you to notice verse 16. Can you see verse 16 with me real quickly? It says this, lest there be any fornicator. Most of us know what that is. That's very clearly described in Scripture. And then it says this, or profane person as Esau. And I want to just give you just a simple thought tonight, a little more simple, straighter message than this morning as we talked about the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. I want to preach tonight on this, just this simple phrase, simple statement, the profane person. The profane person. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask you to be with us tonight. I thank you for these folks that have came out. We think about daylight saving time. We think about the storm that they say is coming. But I thank you, Lord, that there's some folks that have called a time out of their week and just said, hey, I'm going to go to church on a Sunday night. I pray you'd encourage them. Pray you'd help them. We pray for those who could not be here, those who would not be here. We pray for our churches of like faith all across the area and the country. And we pray that you'd just bless and help. We love you tonight. We ask you to be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. When I say profane, I think most of us know that. In fact, most of the time when you think of profane, you probably think of the word profanity. When I say profanity, most of you know what I'm saying tonight. In fact, it's that thing that we don't want go on in church. And most of you have told your children from the time they were little, now, you can't say that. You may have even come to this altar in your life, even as a Christian, and said, God, forgive me for using profanity. You may have a battle in that area. Some folks don't battle that. Some folks, that is a real hard area. Even after they get saved, they battle using improper language. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You got to get the word in your life and in your heart and in your mind to overcome that, if that's a battle area for you. In fact, I want to read this definition. It can be used as an adjective or a verb. And here it's used as an adjective because it says, or profane person. Well, we could say it could be used as an adjective. It says a profane person. But it says here, relating or devoted to that which is not sacred or biblical. It says secular rather than religious. It speaks also of a person or their behavior, not respectable, or not respectful, I should say, of orthodox religious practice, to be irreverent. Here are some of the synonyms they list. Irreligious, ungodly, godless, unbelieving, impious, disrespectful, sacrilegious. When it's used as a verb, it is to treat something sacred with an irreverent or disrespect. It means to desecrate or violate or to defile, to treat sacrilegiously. I mean, it's a pretty strong statement when the Word of God says that Esau was a profane person. And you may hear, I know I'm on a Sunday night church service. In fact, when I was getting this message, and the Lord kind of changed my heart and mind at the last minute about preaching this. And I thought, well, Lord, this is a Sunday night crowd, and most of you all have lived your life in church, you're faithful to church, and you love the Lord. And, you know, you might look and say, well, you know, you never have really battled that. But most of us also, though, work with people, and we live around people. In fact, we could say tonight very safely, church, I think all of us would agree with this, that we live in a time of profane. You watch television more than 5 minutes. How many of y'all know it's profane? I mean, even a commercial, you... Sometimes if you're watching a commercial and you got mixed company, you're embarrassed. I mean, I'm talking about tonight. When you see the billboard signs, it's profane. You can't, you know, there's certain areas you drive by a bridge. You better not look on the side of it. It's probably got something profane on it. We live in such a profane age, it's almost unbelievable when somebody's not profane. If some young man or young lady says yes, sir, or no, sir, yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, we as adults many times almost pass out. Man, that's unbelievable. How kind they are. What a good kid that is. And all they're doing is having just common manners because we live in such a profane time. And we see here a picture in Esau of a man, the Bible says, is his name is linked with, it says, or profane, it says fornicator or profane person as Esau. A profane. I've got some illustrations. I was raised, I was not allowed to use certain words. I've said, I had my mouth literally washed out with soap. I got in trouble for this when I was a child. I did not hear this. I mean, I was not around profane things. And I remember had some friends, though, that were profane. And I remember being around, I said, I cannot believe, man, if my mom was right here right now, she would skin me alive for this. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? I remember being a boy in a locker room with the ball players and hearing things. I'm like, oh man, this is not good. This is not how we're supposed to live. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You may work with them. In fact, it may be a battle area for you to be profane, to be irreligious. Now, it goes more than just your language. It goes into your lifestyle and the way you live and the way you act and who you're around, what you do and what you don't do. I'm going to give you four things about a profane person. We're going to go home. Number one, the profane person is a foolish person. It's just very simple. They're foolish. Let's go back now in Genesis and we look at the book of Genesis here. We see that the scene of Jacob and Esau. And most of us know what's going on here, and it's hard for us to like. And I always think of chili beans. Because it said venison. It says lentils. The meat's cooked up. It must have been delicious. It must have been amazing. How many of y'all have ever been hungry in here? This morning after the service there, they were talking about eating sauerkraut and weenies and cornbread and new lettuce and tomatoes out of the garden. Hey, man. Biscuits and grass. I said, man, I'm going to quit talking. I ain't got that good food to the house to eat. Amen. Wilted lettuce. Some of y'all know what wilted lettuce is. Fried fat back. I go on, man. Put that fat back in them green beans. Let that stuff cook down. Come on. I know I get an amen out of these Baptists. But we've been hungry, haven't we? Man, if you get really hungry. But I don't know if I've ever been this hungry. You realize how foolish this is. If I went to you today, I mean, it would have to be some amazing. You ever seen these political dinners? And it says $1,000 a plate. Comedian Brian Regan has a line on that. He said, every bite better be amazing. He said, he's a comedian. He said, I would send it back just on purpose, just on principle itself. I said, is there something wrong? No, there's nothing wrong. But it's good, but it's not $1,000 good. It ain't that good. Understand this tonight, church, how foolish it was for Esau to give up his birthright, to give up his very name linked with his people and his God. He despised that. He did not care about that. Now, that does not mean he was not going to have any money. It does not mean he was not going to have anything in his life. See, some folks think he was just going to be out and be a pauper and be poor. That's not true. In fact, I kind of thought that, and I started researching that a little bit. That's not true. Esau goes on, but he was never linked the way that Jacob was linked with the promises and the blessings of God. And so it just comes down to, I love cornbread and beans, man. I hardly ever pass up cornbread and beans. I mean, you got to really mess that up. How many of you like cornbread? Anybody here like that? It comes down to a bowl of cornbread and beans, or whatever it was. I don't know exactly how it looked. It's probably delicious. He was giving all of that up for just a bowl of pottage. A bowl of cornbread and beans. Whatever you can put in your mind, that chili beans. Whatever it may be and whatever it may look like, how foolish was he to give up his birthright? Let me say this to you tonight, church. A profane person is a foolish person. When you're profane, when you take those things which are religious and godly and make them ungodly and you profane the name of Christ, you profane the things of God, you profane the building of God, you disrespect, you put to the side, you make fun, you make light. When you live a profane life, have no fear of God. We lament this in our society. We say, we need to get back. Our young people need to have a fear of God. Let me say something to you. Everybody needs to get an old-fashioned fear of God. We need that in our own lives, by the way. Not just everybody else. I need that. You need that. And so a profane person is a foolish person. When somebody uses certain language, automatically, whenever I hear somebody using profane language, automatically, I judge them. Now, judge not, lest you be judged. I judge them. Y'all get mad if y'all want to. First thing I think is, they ain't read a book. Don't you get mad at me. I'm sitting there thinking, if you read and educate yourself a little bit, oh, there's some words, honey, that you could use that are way more powerful than a cuss word. There's some words, if you understand language at all and linguistics, you could say some words and some sentences. You could just quote a few things from some poems and you would have somebody, they wouldn't even know what hit them. So automatically I have a judgment. That guy's a fool. If I hear somebody being profane or see them being profane, I mean, you think about it. If somebody comes and eggs a church, what do you think about that? Well, man, that's, what's the first word that comes out of your mouth? How foolish. In fact, I get kind of scared. I'm like, man, I wouldn't want to go to bed tonight. I'd be down there begging that preacher. Preacher, let me in. I got to apologize. I got to get on. I got to get right with God. Have you ever talked about tonight? And so we think of it being foolish. If somebody profanes something, usually we think of it. In fact, you know what we say a lot of times? If somebody does something to a building or they do something that's crazy, you know what we think? We think this is what even the police say. Must have been a child. They say, well, that was teenagers. Why do they say that? Because they think, ain't nobody that stupid. A rational, thinking, mature adult would not do that. Somebody that was skilled and knew what they were doing wouldn't do that. Even a thief wouldn't do that. They must be a fool. And here's what, you look at Esau and you think, Esau, what are you thinking that you're so hungry that you're willing to give up everything, really practically speaking? And so a profane person, number one, is a foolish person. Secondly, a profane person. And many, hey, by the way, if you say, well, it may not have anything to do with you, but you may work with one, or you may have maybe a friend that's one. You try to be friends with them. You got to be very careful because it'll rub off on you. You got to be careful. It may be a neighbor. It may be somebody you, hey, it could be in your family even sometimes. You love them and you pray for them. You got to be very careful. Even though you may not be profane, you've got to be careful of being around the profane. We are influenced by them. The Bible says that we're not to be like this world. Secondly, write this down. Not only is he a foolish person, but he's a fleshly person. When I say fleshly, the Bible speaks of living spiritual and then living carnal. Carnality. When I say the word carnal, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? I know these are real simple thoughts. Most of us know this. But how many of y'all know this? Even though we know it, we got to be reminded. We forget sometimes how carnal we can become. We can say and do things that are very carnal. They are flesh-driven, not spirit-driven. Even in preaching or going to church, we can get to where we want to hear preaching or teaching that appeals to our flesh, not to our spirit. There's things that appeal to my flesh. And by the way, not all flesh is bad. Not everything about your flesh is bad. God give it to you. But we have a fallen nature. We have a fallen flesh. We have to be very, very careful because it's a fleshly controlled person. Esau looked at this bowl of beans and was controlled by the temporary thing of satisfaction at that moment. That's very, very foolish. It is very, very flesh driven. We all battle. I don't care who you are, you battle this. You battle because your flesh is temporary, just quick, very quick. That's why I've used the illustration. That's why when you go to the grocery store line, don't they have the coolest stuff as you're going out at the checkout? You didn't know you needed that beef jerky until you get up there. I think they even made them quit putting little kids' books up there, driving them moms crazy. And but why is that? Because, boy, right there at that moment, at that time, the other night I was going through the drive-through. Was coming home. Actually, this last time I was coming home, we wanted to get a quick snack, and the lady on the other side of the thing there, I'd never been there before, it was Long John Silver's down in Abington, Virginia. And she said this. She goes, we ordered something, and she said, well, would you like a deep-fried Twinkie? I said, honey, you got a hungry fat boy on the other line. What do you mean? And I said, you talked me into it. And if she hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have ate. I wouldn't even known they even had them. I think it was just her doing it. I don't think it was on her menu. And I'll just tell y'all what, that was amazing. I loved it. But here, what I'm saying to you, you say, what do you mean, brother? I said, hey, it was like that. I didn't go down there to eat a deep fried. I'd never ate a deep fried Twinkie. We had some deep fried Oreos at one of the homecomings over here. Something we had at the school, I think. I think Brother Shorter admitted that. Y'all have taught him about that. But when you see that, when she said that on the thing, she's a real sweet lady and a little older lady, and she said, hey, would you like a deep fry? I said, well, man, you don't have to twist my arm. Because right at that, how many of y'all talking about, you have something happen right at the moment. Right at that time, those emotions, that flesh will kick in. And by the way, one thing might be innocent. You know, some of it's not that big a deal. If you get a pack of gum as you're going out of the store, you get you an extra bottle of pop. You ain't hurt it. But let me say this to you. If you're not careful and you become ruled by your flesh, the Bible says that the spirit is what? Anybody remember? Willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Now, this becomes very serious. We've got preachers falling into sin, nationally known. We've got Christians and churches splitting. We've got people falling away from the things of God because they are fleshly driven. This flesh is very, very powerful. Some of us, hey, by the way, you'll battle that all of your life. I don't care if you're in church on Sunday night. You're going to battle that all of your life. And you may think that you have a battle. You say, well, I don't really battle cussing. I don't really battle certain things. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, if you're not careful, Satan will battle you not only your weak point, he'll battle you in your strong point. Satan wants to go right at your flesh. He's going to use your flesh. That's why when we see it, man, we're living in a consumer-driven society. It's all around us. So secondly, a profane person is a fleshly person living for temporary fulfillment. Now, it will fulfill you temporarily. Let's remember, church, tonight, there is pleasure in sin. But it goes on, don't it? For a what? For a season. But that doesn't mean there's not pleasure in it. I think sometimes we make a mistake saying, oh, man, there's no pleasure in it. You don't want to do that. Oh, there's going to be pleasure in it. They're not getting high because it feels bad. It's because it feels good. They're not doing things that are wrong because it feels bad. No, it feels good. It pleases the flesh. But it only does it for a season, the Bible tells us. And so it not only is a profane person foolish and fleshly, but write this down, number three. He's also fake. Now, it takes some discernment. But as I studied this and I was studying some other writers and some other sermons, and I'd never really captured this, but I want you to go back into your text in Hebrews chapter 12. And it's an interesting way the Word of God puts it here. Look at verse 17. Now, this is talking about, you know, living a godly life and enduring the chastening of God in Hebrews chapter 12. But I want you to notice it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. It says, for ye know that. Now watch this. By the way, it says, for ye know how. They knew the scriptures. They knew the stories. They knew about Esau. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, I always kind of just assumed that he was sincere there. But then when I read some of the commentaries, read some of the sermons, they made an interesting point in several different places that I studied, that actually what this is saying right here in this passage is that he sought it with tears, but it never says he had a broken heart. It never says that he was contrite. It never says that he was truly repentant toward what he had done toward the birthright. There's a lot that's not being said. You ever notice in the Bible sometimes things are not said? It doesn't say, and by the way, God could have put down what if Esau had a broken, if Esau did want God, if Esau did have that desire, God would have wrote it down. God could write down what he wants to. It's his word, amen? But we're never told. In fact, the thinking here is, it says, even though he sought it carefully with tears, is that it was fake tears. How many of you have ever seen somebody get in trouble and they're really more upset because they got in trouble than because of what they did? What they did didn't really bother me. It's just the fact that, oh, no, now I'm in trouble. I mean, we've all done that. We used a kid. I don't really think it's that bad, but I sure don't want a whipping for it. And the thinking here is that a profane person is a fake person. Because here's the key with Esau. If you read Esau, Esau didn't want God. Jacob was a mess, in my opinion. I've always thought Jacob was a mess. The difference between Jacob and Esau is Jacob wanted God. He knew he was a mess. He knew he was a supplanter. He knew he was a heel grabber. He knew, by the way, out of the two boys, you and I really believe if we was lining him up to marry our daughter or to be our, you know, co-worker or to work for it, whatever it may be, I think we'd have picked Esau quicker than we'd have picked Jacob. That's just my opinion. I think if you read, I was like, man, you have more common. If you're going to spend a day with somebody out on a boat fishing, I think you'd want to take Esau. If you're going to go on a hunting trip up in the mountains, I think you'd want to take Esau. If you're going to build a house, I think you'd want Esau. If you're going to watch a ball game and kick back, I think you'd want Esau. But Esau did not want the things of God. He was fake. Now, I'm going to say this to you, church, and I don't be mad at me, but I think we've got Christianity across the board. I'm not saying here tonight necessarily. You know your heart. I think we're eat up with fake professions, fake lives, putting on a front in every front of everybody, but behind the scenes, really not wanting God or the things of God. It's everywhere. Sometimes you can spot it a mile away. You even see Christians today defending what they would never defend 30 years ago. Somebody may fall into sin, and they might forgive them, but they would not defend it. They say, look, we must stand up, even in our churches. We must stand up against this. We cannot say that that's okay. But today, it's we have a fakeness. We make a profession, and it's a profane because it's not about God. It's about our appearance. It's about some show. It's about some social thing that's going on. Church is not about some social thing. Church is where a group of believers gather together to worship the one true and living God. It's not about putting on a show. This isn't a social club. I'll say it again. If it is, we don't do good at being a social club. We're not giving out many awards. We're not doing a whole lot of things. We're not a social club. Hey, we are gathered together to worship God and to glorify God with our lives. And a profane person is a fake person. Man, let's be one thing, church. Be all like you say, if you're gonna be a Christian, you need to be natural. You don't need to be somebody else. If you're gonna put on a show, don't do it. Be real. And I think I'm talking to some real folks tonight. But you got to be careful. Not everybody, help me onto this tonight, church. Let me just help you. Not everybody that names the name of Christ are really Christians. Let's just remember that. I have to remind myself that myself. Because I just say, if they tell me that, I'm like, I can't read their heart. I don't have some I'm a pastor. I don't have some supernatural ability. So no, they're not. By the way, we're not to judge. It's not our point. I can't tell somebody saved. But I am shocked to how easily many of us that are saved get fooled by the profane. It'd do you some good, church, tonight to study, not necessarily secular psychologists, but it'd be doing you some good to study a narcissist and a psychopath. What's happening in our churches? If you get a narcissist in a place of position, even well-meaning people will follow them. A psychopath, they have an ability to lure people and to lead people. It's unbelievable. It's really wicked. If you don't believe me, study Nazi Germany. They just happened to get one in power who was a total narcissist. And look what happened to him. It's still going on. And it goes on even sometimes behind pulpits. It goes on sometimes at work. It goes on sometimes in our own families. We got to be very careful because a profane person is fake. Those tears are not real. I'll tell you this little story and I'll go on. I remember we had a get-together down here in the gym one time. I mean, some of you are here tonight were at this. I have felt bad about this over the years. A little bit. Not a whole lot. Okay, just a little. And we had a bunch of teenagers, and I knew one boy was crushing on another girl. I knew he was. And, well, next thing you know, he passed out. And I watched him. You ever watch somebody pass out? I've seen people pass out. When they pass out, they do the nasty plunge when they pass out. I mean, somebody pass out, a lot of times they'll have a hit, they'll bang their head or their mouth or fall back, knock themselves out. A true, how many know what I'm talking about? But I watched him pass out, and he was kind of bracing himself as he passed out. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not talking about getting a little bit lightheaded, I'm talking about he's passing out. And I went over, I leaned down, there was kids everywhere, I leaned down, and I looked, got down to him, I said, you're faking. Woo, he got mad at me. I think everybody got mad at me. I'm notorious for saying it to my own kids. Like, quit your faking, getting attention. And I remember the ambulance come down. I think it may have been Brother Bush. It may have been Bush. I don't know who it was come down. And they kind of looked at me like, I think they're faking. It's not real. He doesn't want that attention. He wanted somebody to, oh, man, how bad he is. I thought about that so often. How many times have you ever seen a little kid, little Cash? You know what little Cash is sometimes? He'll cry, and I'll build it up. Say, oh, you okay? He'll cry more. How many of y'all know that's not real? You ever heard a kid cry? You think they're really crying? They shut it down just like that. That's human nature, isn't it? By the way, if we're not careful, all of us, hey, by the way, don't be too hard on people. How many of you all ladies here? I've seen some of you men do it too. Be fussing at somebody in your house and then you answer the phone, hello? And man, you mad as a hornet 10 seconds earlier. We've all done it. Don't you? Hey, don't act like you haven't done it. Be real sweet to somebody, get in that car, be mad as you can be going down the road. We've all done it. We're prone to that. Hey, we got to watch. That's a profane thing. We got to be very, very careful about that. So it's fake. And then let me say this last thing. A profane person, and as I thought about this, this is the last thing. Just think about this tonight as we go home. He's right here. Esau was forever defined. He found no place of repentance. You ever get tired of hearing cussing? Or hearing the Lord's name in vain? Or just seeing wicked stuff all the time? You ever just sit around this world and say, man, I'm just tired of hearing about adultery. I'm tired of hearing about wickedness. I'm tired of hearing about, I'm tired of seeing women that are young and attractive carrying 24-ounce boxes of beer out of stores. I'm just tired of that. I'm tired of hearing about, you know, somebody doing a line of cocaine that's a manager in a store somewhere. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? I'm tired of hearing about some little kid getting molested. Anybody else tired of that? I'm tired about the fact that in Iceland, I heard this week, Brother Fred, I'm talking about this the other day, I think. They said there's nobody in Iceland now. They said, we've done away with Down syndrome. They didn't have a secret magic drug. You know how they done away with Down syndrome? They killed them in the womb. 67%, I believe it is, in America, are babies that are diagnosed with Down syndrome or aborted. What a weird world we live in. Did you know that Gerber, I think this past year, whenever it was, they, for the first time in history, they had a Down syndrome baby become the Gerber baby. Everybody's like, man, this is wonderful. This is the Gerber. I think that's awesome. But on the flip side of that, we're aborting them. So on one hand, we're making them the poster child of what a baby can be. But on the other side, we're going to kill them. We are crazy people. I mean, how profane is that? How weird and messed up is that? Because when you look at the Word of God, and right here you want to look at Esau. And Esau, hey, it meant nothing to him, the Bible says. You say, Esau, what is wrong with you? The things of God mean nothing. We want to try to find, I wish we could help these teenagers. I wish we could help these marriages. And the very thing that could help them, we don't want it. I haven't heard anybody say, why don't we go down to that school in Florida and have us an old-fashioned, let's get C.T. Townsend and let's get Frank, whoever preacher you like. Let's get in and have a prayer meeting. Let's have revival. Let's pass out tracts in that town. Let's put a church beside that school. Let's have some preaching every day at 12 o'clock. Hey, let's get in there and soul win. Let's go in there and have them teachers and get around and pray for them. Hey, let's help them out, not just financially. Let's help them out spiritually. I haven't heard one person hardly say that. And if they did, I guarantee you they're going to shut them up. Have y'all know that? That's what we really need. We really need, hey, won't you go spend about 24 hours with the preachers right here? Won't you go to spend some time? Won't we get on down to that altar and pray over these young people? Well, see, we don't really want that. See, we want it. We say we want those things. He found no place of repentance. God says he found no. Can you imagine spending eternity being a profane person? Have you ever laid in bed at night? Maybe, hey, some of you tonight maybe have a cussing problem and you really don't want to have it. And you've ever prayed to God and you said, God, I don't want to be like that. God, please help me. I don't want to be like that. That's a good way to be. I don't think Esau ever did that. I don't think Esau laid. I don't think Esau ever went to. I don't think he ever said. See, Jacob did. Jacob said, I'm a supplanter. I would have taken sins, but I'm a mess. God, I don't want to be. David was a murderer and a liar and adulterer. But David said, I don't want to be. You see, the key is, church tonight, we got to get to where we don't want to be. Man, I gossip, but God, I don't want to gossip anymore. Lord, I get mad, and my anger kind of even gives me some enjoyment. But God, I don't want that anymore. God, I don't want to live. I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of the things about hell is, if you die and go to hell as a profane person, your profanity will be with you forever. It's not going to ever be any cease. Things that are profane. We don't, hey, look, some of you, sometimes our flesh would get curious. You ever go by a wreck on the road and you rubberneck, you look over to see what it is? And there's something in your flesh, like, just curious. Think about this. And there's something about that that's very fleshly. Because I want to see that. Just imagine spending your whole eternity, your whole existence, looking at things that are horrible. That sin. That guilt after you sin. You want to look at Esau. And by the way, I don't think, from what I can gather in Scripture, it says that he tried to seek the Lord, but if that was fake, he never was real. He never said, God, please forgive me. Please help me. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be like that. I've had young people come to me and say, Brother House, it may be a problem, whatever. And you'd be shocked. I mean, I've had them come to me on a lot of things. Serious things. I mean, I remember a young man came to me and he had a bad thing happen to him and he thought he was a homosexual. He looked at me and he said, hey, I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I was his youth pastor. Was in another state. He was tore up. He said, I don't want to be like that. Is there any hope for me? I don't want to be that way for the rest of my life. I don't want to go down that road. I've had him try drugs. I've had him do all kinds of things. Say, hey, brother, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to continue like that. I don't want my marriage to be like, I don't want my home to be like, whatever it may be. I've heard all, and many of you have had people tell you the same thing. Confide in you or talk to you and say, hey, I just don't want to be that way. Maybe in your life, in your heart, you've come to church and said, Lord, I don't want to be. I see these preachers, Lord, I don't want to be that preacher that everybody says, well, he used to be a good preacher. Brother Austin was telling me about a man that, he said, Dad, a month ago, I was listening to his podcast. A month ago, he told me this the other day, he said, a month ago. I'm talking about yesterday, or the day before yesterday. He said, a month ago, I was listening to his podcast. He said, 2 weeks ago, he took his library, drove it somewhere and said, here, you can have all of us, and I'm going to drive a truck. He said, I'm talking about Dad, a man that loved God, pastor of church, and he fell into sin. Had to give up his whole ministry. Give it to another priest. He said, Dad, I was listening to him a month ago. Here's my son in the middle of West Virginia, listening to a man in another state, hearing him, being influenced by him, and Satan all the time using that profane. See, we've got to be very careful. Hey, let's not get church. Let's don't get, oh, it ain't going to happen to me. It ain't going to happen to us. Not our marriage, not our home, not me. I'm not going to be like that. I don't have that problem. We've got to be very careful tonight. Whatever that may be, and you know your life. God kind of changed my mind on what to preach tonight. Listen, thank God we can still repent. I know repentance is not a word people don't like to hear. But you know what we need to do? We don't just need to repent one time as Christians when we get saved. I believe you need to live a life of repentance. Constantly repenting. Constantly saying, God, I want to walk with you and talk with you. Constantly broken. Constantly saying, Lord, I need you, God. And in fact, if you're not doing that, it's a good sign you have never truly repented. I mean, really repent of your sin and say, Lord, I'm changing my mind and direction about what I am, and I'm looking to you. Esau never showed us that he ever had a change. He never said, oh, no, I want that birthright. Jacob did. And my, what a different story their history's become. Edom, the red one, versus the father of a nation. I wonder tonight, where are you at? Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you're around it and it burdens you and it bothers you. Hey, let it bother you. We don't ever become a church. We don't ever become Christian. We don't ever become a believer that is not bothered by the profane. By the profane. There's some things that are so profane, and you and I are seeing them every day, that I don't even want to share from this pulpit. I don't want to dirty up this sacred desk by sharing with you some of the profane things that you may see even before the morning. God, help us. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. Thank you to our folks. But I know many here tonight, they know you, they love you. They don't want to be profane.